Welcome to the History of the Caribbean audiobook. If you haven't already, we invite you to follow us on your favorite podcast platform so you never miss a story. Today, we're honored to bring you Dreamland, the African longing that fueled a prophet. Get ready to immerse yourself in a powerful narrative that goes beyond music into legacy, resistance, and roots. Because here, our mission is simple: to keep our culture alive, one story at a time. They say every man has a place he dreams of when the world becomes too loud. For some, it's a beach. For others, a childhood home. But for me, it was always Africa. Even before I knew her rivers by name, I heard her in the drums. Even before I saw her landscapes in books, I felt her in the soil beneath my bare feet. Africa wasn't a fantasy. She was a memory, etched in spirit, carved into blood, whispered by the wind in Trenchtown long before I had words for why my heart ached. I called her Dreamland. The name came to me when I was still young, when Bob, Peter, and I would sit on zinc rooftops, watching the Kingston night fall like a soft prayer. We'd talk about freedom like it was a person we were trying to find. I'd hum melodies with no lyrics yet, just feeling. And in those hums, in those moonlit silences, I saw visions of red soil. Acacia trees. Children running barefoot, not in poverty, but in peace. Drums echoing not in protest, but in praise. That was Dreamland, and I never stopped dreaming. People always ask, "Bunny, why Africa?" And I say, because Africa was taken. They stole her from us. Not just the land, but the rhythm, the memory, the mother tongue, and what they gave us in return. Chains, doctrine, colonized scripture, Western lies dressed as gospel. But the drum never forgot. That's why I followed it. Not to superstardom, not to Babylon's stage, but back to her. To Dreamland. When I first wrote the song Dreamland, I wasn't writing for radio. I was writing to reach, to call out across oceans and time and tell my ancestors, me not forget. The song poured out of me like a river that had been dammed too long. There's a land that I've heard about so far across the sea, where the old folks stay in peace and harmony. It wasn't poetry. It was prophecy. Because even if I never set foot on her soil, I had already been there. Every time I beat a Nyabingi drum, every time I fasted in the hills, every time I planted food with my own hands, Africa lived in me. The industry never understood. They said Dreamland was too slow, too soft, not commercial. But I wasn't singing for charts. I was singing for return. And in every verse, I laid a stone on the bridge back to Zion. That's why I never let the song go. I recorded it more than once, each time with deeper longing. Because the more Babylon tried to pull me into its machine, the more I needed to remember who I was, where I came from, where I belonged. There were times I'd close my eyes in St. Thomas and swear I could smell her air. The earth would speak to me, not in English, not in patois, but in essence, a vibration, a frequency, a pull so strong it made my teeth ache. I'd sit under the almond tree and whisper, "Me coming, Mama, me coming." But returning to Africa was never just a physical thing. It was spiritual. And spiritual return takes discipline. So I lived Ital. I chanted psalms. I rejected processed food, processed thoughts, processed culture. I wanted to be clean, so when Africa called me home, I wouldn't be too clouded to hear her. Every sunrise was a step closer. Every fast, a cleansing of the chains they tried to hide inside me. You see, the journey back isn't just about passports. It's about purification. And Dreamland is only for the prepared. When Bob went to Africa, I was proud. He touched the soil, met the leaders, saw the mother. But me? I stayed back, because Africa wasn't a trip for me. She was a covenant, and I wanted to meet her not as a tourist, but as a son. When Jean disappeared, my longing deepened. She was my queen, my counterpart, the one who held Dreamland with me in silence. Her absence left a space too wide to fill, but it also reminded me that all things, all people return, and I knew, if I never saw her again in this life, I would see her there, in Dreamland, beneath a baobab tree, smiling like no time had passed. People asked me toward the end what I feared most. I told them, me not fear death, me fear forgetting where me belong. And that's why I kept singing. That's why I whispered Dreamland, even when my voice was weak. Because I wanted the next generation to know, to dream not of luxury, not of Babylon's comfort, but of return, of soil, of roots, of identity not bought in stores but carried in soul. I've returned now, gone from the stage, from the interviews, from the chance circles, but I'm still in dreamland. And if you close your eyes, if you fast, pray, listen to the earth, you'll find me there. Not loud, not flashy, just present, just home. Narrator, gentle fade. Dreamland was never fiction. It was always a promise. And Bunny Wailer, he never broke it.